Hello, it's AFQ Football. It's John Gibbons, the host this week, and I am joined by Paul Cope, by Andy Heaton, by Mike Nevin, and by Lizzie Doyle. A lovely plethora of LFC experience for you. And yeah, we'll get straight into the questions. And Eric Shipper wants to know, Paul, how can this first team be improved? I know this is a little bit looking ahead when we all just want to batter Huddersfield, but yeah. I quite like it.
Well, he's put me on the spot here because I said on the pink that there's loads of ways you can improve it. And then the next day I woke up and I was like,
How like, what 5 points does.
I'm not sure that's right, drunk Copy. How can it be improved? I do think there are a few, and I think that's the frightening thing for our rivals, really, and the exciting thing for us, because I think there are, like, at the end of the day, this second half of the season run, we've had Joel Matter playing centre-back, and as good as he's been, and I think he should be praised more than he is being praised, because he's been part of this incredible defence.
Gary Neville loves him.
Does he?
Give him man of the match.
Only give him man of the match, yeah. That's still... I need to watch the whole game back again just to see how that happened. That was a massive surprise to me at the end of the match. Massive surprise. But, yeah, so, I mean, obviously Joe Gomez, when he's fit, is first-choice centre-half next to Van Dijk, and rightly so. But I think another top-class centre-back definitely improves us as a squad.
First team, though, he's saying, though, so I'm going to be ruthless on this.
Okay.
So basically, you're buying someone better than Gomez to make Gomez third choice.
No. Okay, if you're pushing me on that now, I think Joe Gomez is incredible. So if he can stay fit, my only concern with him is you just don't want another... I think people underestimate this, that the greatest players play all the games. It's always been like that. Like Carrick, one of the reasons Jamie Carrick was so good is he just didn't miss football matches.
Yeah. Suarez is another perfect.
Suarez, great example. So yeah, subject to Gomez being able to keep himself fit, then I think he's brilliant, and I think him and Van Dijk will be an incredible partnership. And so then, yeah, okay, if we're being ruthless about the 11, the back five with Trent, Robertson, those two centre-backs and the goalie, no, I don't think he can improve that. I think the front three, no, squad, yeah, you should be buying another one to help with that, but as a front three, no, you're not going to improve it. And then the midfield three, I don't know. I think that's the one that's up in the air, isn't it? I was discussing this at the weekend. Again, it's an injury thing. I think it's amazing what we've done without a lad who contributed so much at the end of last season, Oxlade-Chamberlain. Mm. Like when you think back to how good he was in the way Klopp wants to play footy, I think if you throw him into the mix, we're all still wanting Naby Keita to turn into this superstar player, and we're so desperate for it to happen. But let's say the midfield was Fabinho, Henderson playing the way he's playing as an advanced midfielder, and Oxlade-Chamberlain. And you might have an issue of who plays which side or whatever. But I don't know. I think you'd struggle to improve that as a first choice three in midfield as well.
So you're just more sort of looking at squad players. Well, not, I mean, squad players makes it sound like, you know, you're just lads who could do a job. I mean, you're talking top class squad players, but that's what you're looking for more this summer.
Yeah, definitely. The big thing for me is with the front three. I love the way everyone talks about luck, about like getting pens and scoring goals and stuff, but the luckiest thing that's happened to us in the past 2 years for me is those three lads have stayed fit for two full seasons, basically. Yeah, massively touch wood. And that's, I mean, you can't imagine that's going to continue forever. So I'd like to have someone as good as it's been to see like Divock coming back and turn into this strange like left wing hybrid player. He's not good enough to be our first sub, and Daniel Sturridge definitely isn't. So yeah, we need another one of them.
Okay, Andy, first team improved, how?
Next year's Trent, it sounds like I'm digging him up, but I'm not, because I love him, but next year's Trent Alexander-Arnold will be better than this year's Trent Alexander-Arnold, and then we'll be the best right-back, full-back in the league, if he's not already. It's just occasionally just been sneaking in. He just seems to have, when he's great, he's flawless, but when, I think, a couple of times this year, if he has a bad 5 or 10 minute spell, that can basically affect him for longer in the game.
Do you think he needs to learn a few tricks? That's my thing with Trent.
Well, that's what
like,
I mean.
You know, like Andy Robbins' little puller, then he let go. Yeah. Right? That was lovely, though. Well, that's what he needs a few more of them in his game.
Yeah, just well, that's what I'm saying. Next year, Alexander-Arnold's got a little bit more wily, a little bit more experience, a little bit more know-how. Yeah, so that, and then I look at our squad now, and I think it's the only place that's not world-class, and I'm not slagging it off and saying it's shit, is the midfield. I think if that midfield had the Kevin De Bruyne in there, then, and you're talking fantasy football, but that was the question.
Eric's fine for you to play.
So if we had like a Kevin De Bruyne type player sometimes, I think, you know, that would add so much more. I think that goals from the midfield, and they are chipping in Ginny at the weekend. But I think it'd also increase the output of the front three even more than what it is now. I just think sometimes where in transition, and which is mad because you've got the Bayern Munich manager saying we're the best team in the world playing that kind of football on the break. But I just think a couple of times I've seen it break down a little bit where you think if it was City breaking on us, I'd be absolutely cacking my pants. Because I know if it goes to De Bruyne, the odds are he's going to put that ball in effortlessly and just that little bit quicker.
So, I think people are probably cacking in their pants when we do it as well. Yeah. I think Cardiff's anywhere. Mike, what are you doing?
It's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, 88 points, three games to go. But you're talking about like a mid-90s point season, this team. It's hard. Midfield, I think just naturally you just think it's the midfield, isn't it? Because we don't concede goals, we score loads of goals. We don't get loads of goals from midfield, and the players that we've got, I'd say they're all great, but there's an element of the workman like about all of them, and what we still lack a little bit, I think. Although I think potentially you bring in a flair player, someone like Coutinho, dare I say, it does sort of alter the way that Liverpool actually play. It sort of feels that the way Klopp wants to have his midfield set up is that you need runners. I think Henderson's improvements over the last 3-4 weeks has actually changed the conversation a bit, because a month ago I'd have been thinking, yeah, I think we need to upgrade Henderson. Yeah. As much as I like him as a player, I hadn't seen enough of him this season. The last 3-4 games, he's been absolutely outstanding and has looked like the player of 2014 again. So that's changed it. But yeah, for me, it'd be someone who's just got that naturally creative flair, just the ability to see a pass that other players can't play. Someone like Coutinho, not necessarily Coutinho.
Lizzie, what are you doing?
I agree. Probably midfield, and it's really, really quite hard to pick apart this team who's got us our record points. So the first one that comes to mind, actually, though, was right back for me. But you say first 11, and it does feel harsh on Trent, but I'm just thinking, if we're thinking logically as to how many games Liverpool play, and that Klopp doesn't keep a first 11 every single week, he changes it. He has like a first 13, 14, doesn't he? And I'd probably like to see someone giving Trent a bit of a run for his money, and also just a little bit more depth in that position. But in terms of if Trent's on his game, I'd keep him there all day, any day, and I'm going for the flair player as well. And we all not forget about Oxlade-Chamberlain, but to get him coming back is great. But another one like him, another one a little bit Coutinho-like, and like Mike says, our game changes completely. And I think you look at our spine and we're world class throughout. And I mean world class with Alisson, with Van Dijk, and then pick any of your front three of world class. Your midfield, I don't think we have got anyone at their level yet. And I'm saying yet because I look at Fabinho and I think he could probably be that player, but he's also a very different type of midfielder to what I'm talking about. So I think Flair.
Well, I mean, when Coutinho was at Anfield, what he could also do with him was he could play him in the front three as well. Yeah. So that sort of addressed the rotation issue. Mane had a time off when he was out of form, which benefited him later on. So I think if we are looking for a player that's going to enhance your midfield, then the best signing really is someone who can also play in the front three. So it is a really offensive-looking midfielder with that vision.
Okay, enjoyed the answers to that. Next one's from Wayne Ivory. Andy, are you watching the game on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think I might be, mate, yeah. Yeah, I'll be watching that game on Wednesday night. Is that the question? Am I watching it? Yeah, no, I'm absolutely watching it.
Just in about, yours, or are you going to go out?
I don't want to jinx it.
Which one's a jinx? City always get beat when Andy goes out, famously.
Yeah, no. I think the last time they got beat, I watched it upstairs. I've got my own little routine.
Oh, okay.
In my little, I say it's an office. It's not. It's the third kid's bedroom, the box room. Yeah. So up there, because I just, I don't know. I don't want to. I don't. If I go out, I feel like I'm going out to enjoy myself, and I don't think.
Oh yeah, it's not to be enjoyed.
Karmically, I think if I'm enjoying myself, I'm kind of risking United getting something. So everything's got to be right. I'm very like precise on these things.
I'm glad you're focused, mate.
Yeah. I'm very focused.
Seriously,
we were talking about this before the show. Pop, yeah. Me and Pop were saying like, you know, it's kind of everyone's saying, oh, United this shit, blah blah blah. I think the best thing that possibly could have happened with that is that Everton tanked them. Because any designs or ideas of them going out to give City a game now are well gone. They won't want to be embarrassed twice in a week. And I think we've seen if teams go try and go with City, that's where City get you. I just think if United can dig in and get through the first 15, 20 minutes, yeah. But saying that, if that final whistle goes and United have I've got something, I think I'll be in town quicker than you can say, well, I don't know, by Jove.
Paul, what's your Wednesday plan? I mean, you're a very day-to-day man now, aren't you? You know what I mean? Could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Could be in Thailand.
Yeah. It depends. I mean,
but right now.
It all very much depends. I had a routine while I was away that and it's funny chatting to people who don't know footy with stuff like this or aren't into sport. And chatting to people, I'm going like, we dropped points yesterday and I was drinking Jack Daniels and Coke sitting in that chair in that bar. So I can't do that for the next game. And they're like, what are you talking about? like it has any bearing on a game of football thousands of miles away. But what I think is when we're all doing it, when there's millions of people around the world making sure that that your things are in order, I think it's very important. I'll go out. I'm back.
Undoubtedly back.
The whole point of me being here is to go out for a drink for fuzzy. That's the whole point. My family doesn't listen to this because it's behind the paywall. Basically, I'm watching every minute of every Man City game between now and the end of the season. That's it.
Could I talk about routine? Do you want to know something really sad and a little bit pathetic?
Always.
Still to this day, when Liverpool concede a set piece, I still cross my fingers. Honestly, and I can't not. And I can't shake it. That if I don't do it and they score, it's my fault. Mm. Honestly, it's honestly, on the Twitter the other day when I said they went up the stairs the wrong way, like it started with the wrong foot, I honestly had to like redo it because I thought, oh no, I'm not going to fuck this order up.
Excellent use of the Twitter from Andy there as well. Where were we, Lizzie? Wednesday night, what are you doing?
I'm watching a NAS. Me and my dad sat in front of the telly, might even get like an Ole mask or something.
Okay.
Nice. Get the United songs ready. Yeah. United are the team for me.
When you said Ollie mask, I thought that was like a type of face mask. I was like, oh yes.
And when it molded up like Solskjaer.
Multitasking. I just thought it was, you know.
Face pack on there.
Yeah, I thought that was a type of edge. Yeah, because I don't know, do I?
That's
you
how coffee I mean? I am.
If Edward was listening to this, that's going to be a new commercial line next year. And I don't know.
I have to keep him past the summer. Your skin, mate, you know.
Do you know what I did one Sunday morning?
Did you? Face mask?
Yeah.
I'm quite edgy.
Well, Laura did one. My wife, that is. And then she was like, do you want me to do you? And I was like, oh no, I'm going to get in the shower now. And she was like, well, you wash it off in the shower. Yeah. And I was like, go ahead, yeah. So, yeah.
How long did you have run for?
About 15 minutes.
Enjoy it.
Glorious, isn't it?
It was all right, yeah. I feel a bit of a difference. Like,
you look rejuvenated.
Thanks, yeah. I then showered and then she said, well, you got to moisturise now, so I put some like moisturiser on.
There you go.
Yeah, felt good.
With the Ollie face mask.
I'll Google it.
That's like really cocky though, isn't it? Like, it's our biggest...
No, I just thought you were like, you know, using your time well.
A face mask on.
No, I was into it. I was like multitasking, isn't it? I'm going to watch the football, but also look after myself.
Think about it, if the Ollie mask does work, it's more merch for us, isn't it?
Sorry, Mike, what are you doing Wednesday night?
Applying serum under my eyelids, obviously. I mean, that was something I did throughout the 76-77 campaign. And it looked after us in those days. Now, do you know what? I did put serum under my eyes the other day. My missus said, do you want some serum? I said, go ahead, yeah, no problem at all. Goes on, lovely. Dries, you don't want, no crustiness, brilliant.
I'm a big fan of this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I said to her,
and I said to her, isn't like serum like, it's like dead body? And she said, oh, I don't think so. And I'm convinced it is. Anyway, nevertheless. I'll definitely be watching it. Yeah, you've got to, haven't you? But superstitions wise, I've let them all go this season because 2014, I just was doing all manner of stupid things in the way of superstition. The worst one was like the gym I go to. There's two ways up to the gym. One takes you about 5 minutes, and one takes you about 30 seconds. And I was going on the 5 minute one all the time, just because. Just because on. One occasion we won a game and I thought, right, I've got to stick to that. And that was the maddest one because it was taking time out of my day and none of it worked, did it? So I've made the conscious decision this season to just say, I'm not doing them superstitions no more. I still salute magpies though, that's the other thing, but that's just a general life.
More of a life.
It's a life superstition, that, yeah, the bastards.
Okay, Jake Leon Woodward wants to know, Lizzie, what's the best goal of the season so far? I've come to you because you've done live shows, so you know this question.
It's Mo Salah's. By a clear mile, Mo Salah at Anfield. I could watch it all day, any
Chelsea
day.
Chelsea one.
Yeah, I've watched that video that LFC TV have posted from every single angle about 60 times, and I still can't get over it. I'll never forget the look of the woman next to me with the pure O. Literally, her mouth was in the shape of an O. And it was a split second, but it felt like it lasted 10. His celebration, everything. Oh, it's that goal for me. 100%.
Mike?
The the own goal against Spurs. Without doubt, the best goal of the season.
Because
I've been convincing myself going to win this league, in light of the fact that we still need this one slip from Manchester City, is that it's written in the stars. And I think that was the final clincher on it for me. And there were even things on Sunday that when Alisson misses the cross and the fella sort of heads wide, an open goal, or gets a touch on it, whatever. And just time and again, I just come and tell myself, it's happening this. So that was the clincher for me. I suppose in aesthetic terms, can't really argue with the Salah one.
Origi?
That Salah's goal at Bournemouth was quite tasty, wasn't it? When he put that defender on his arse twice. Yeah. That was good. But yeah.
Okay, Andy?
Yeah, it's Divock in the derby, isn't it?
I mean, it's a good one.
I mean, Salah's, Mo's against Chelsea is the correct answer, but yeah, I don't think, if we're talking Mo celebrated, it's certainly Divock Origi against Everton off the bar. 100%.
Kopi?
Yeah, Divock's for me. Because it's got everything it needs. It could be the greatest goal of all time, especially as Mike says, because I'm massively on this. There are way too many things happening now. It's like the Champions League thing in 05,
but
elongated over a football season. And there's already a showreel that Evertonians, I keep saying this on different shows, but yeah, I'm going to keep saying it, so you might as well get used to it, is that there's already a showreel that some Evertonian is putting together somewhere in his bedroom, and every week he's got something to add to it. And that's incredible. And the Divock one, because as well, for anyone who's in the ground, because of where I was sitting, the context of it, like the shot from Van Dijk where you're like, ridiculous. And then as that's happening, they lash a flare on, and I see the flare in the corner of my eye. And then that happens with Pickford after us all going on about his arms all year. You're like, does it get better than this? I love a goal. This happened in 13-14 where when you're celebrating a goal like a lunatic, at the same time as laughing your head off. They're my favourite celebrations because you're like, this is just, you can't recreate this in normal life.
You know, you've had one of them as well, maybe not laughing, but where you're putting so much into the celebration, you literally can't breathe for a couple of minutes. You think, I've overdone it here. I've gone way too hard and strong on this one. And it's quite frightening for a couple of seconds. And then you get that dizzy. You're like, fucking. Anyway.
Yeah, dizzy for the Reds. Okay, the big important stuff's up now. You know, we've messed around for 15 minutes, but Dave Hall wants the big answer. I'm going to go to you first, Mike. Is it Libyan or Arabian, son?
Oh, Jesus. You know, I don't even know myself. I used to sing Arabian.
There was gasps in the room.
Going back, many, many years, I used to sing Arabian. Then I came round to the fact that it was Libyan. And I said for ages then, trying to sound dead knowledge, but definitely Libyan, you know. Look at the geography side of it and without actually knowing what I meant by that. But then recently I've gone back to Arabian.
That's interesting, isn't
it? And I'll tell you why. Because last time we won the league, it was Arabian sun. So that's me thinking. So that is a superstition that I'm following, I think.
I mean, Andy, I'm surprised how many people are convinced that they're right on this. I think it's one of the wonderful, you know, sort of little things about being a Liverpool fan is that no one really knows. What do you go with?
Well, they're all wrong because it's radiant, isn't it?
No, that's shit.
No, fair.
after saying there's no right answer.
That was like Hodgson being manager, isn't it? United everybody. The Arabian and Libyan crew are united against Andy.
And into it. No, I've always gone with Libyan. Just because, for no particular reason. I've got no horse in this. I've got no sides in this. It's just as it was brought
what you
up.
Sing?
Can I sing?
No, what you sing.
Oh, what I sing, yeah. I mean, I can't sing, but yeah, no, it's Libyan, but now I might switch to Arabian now because Mike's made me paranoid.
No, you can't.
Mike, you've made me paranoid now.
Not until the summer.
No, you can't change it now.
You need to just stick. The interesting thing about the song is that, when I was growing up, footy wasn't that popular, and like, you'd be in a class, and there might be only five lads who were matchgoers.
Yeah.
And actually getting to learn the words took me about the whole song took me about 3-4 years before I had it all boxed. But it was never one of those things that you could ask what the words were, but they didn't print it anywhere. It was almost like a rite of passage. Honestly,
don't embarrass yourself by asking either, do you?
No, you can't.
I remember having an LFC songbook though that I was seeing my dad bought me from like one of the stalls.
Well, I'm talking vividly. I can vividly remember, like, it's about 1980 and I'm about 12 or something like that, and there was lads on the back of a coach going somewhere and they were singing it, and I was just like literally straining everything in my ear to work out what the words were, because you had to know it.
Yeah, this NFC sample that way, I asked, it was funny though because there was just like loads of hooligan ones in there. So I was like, why'd my dad give me this? You know what I mean? Just about like, I'm like, just weird, obscure references to lads who got nicked and stuff like that. Yeah. Or like, you know, certain police officers. And I was like, who's this dad? He's like, oh, he's a busy, you know what I mean? Like, this is odd, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a story behind that.
But like, you know.
Your dad's just trying to give you like some secret information there. He wants you to follow up on.
And then it was just like, stuff that was in this, because a lot of the songs around there was about sort of supporter culture, and I always remember the Nuki Brown one of the where it was just Liverpool fans bragging about how much Newcastle Brown they can drink.
25 like, pints on a Saturday night, 10 for Sunday.
That's
dinner.
The one, yeah. And I was like, that's a bit odd.
I went to Man United with a shotgun on my
knee. Yeah. There was loads of them, which I didn't really get. Kopi, the big one, Libyan or Arabian?
Similar to Mike, actually, I didn't even know it was a thing until a few years ago because it was Arabian. When I learnt it, and everyone who was around me in the ground, who you learnt it from, it was always Arabian. I never heard a single person say Libyan. So when this whole thing came out, and part of me is a bit like, yeah, fuck off with the Libyan thing, because most people sing Arabian. So they're the words.
I sing Libyan.
Do you? Mm. So where did yours come from then?
I'm not sure. That songbook with that part. I think, do you know what? I think that actually had a slash. Libyan / Arabian, I think, was in there. It was maybe my first
idea
that it was up for debate.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Does it? One of the things for the past few months that, like, I go, I know the tune is incredible, but the Bobby Firmino song does my head in. Like, the main thing with a song is the words fit in it.
There's too many samples.
And Arabian or Libyans, they fit.
If you just call them Firmino throughout it and take Bobby out.
No, it sort of works. It's the best in the world is Bobby Firmino.
That's
not
what they were singing.
The best in the world, his name is Bobby Firmino.
Yeah, it's dead easy. It's dead easy if someone just edits.
Bobby Firmino. Yeah. That works.
Also as a sentence as well, you wouldn't say like the best cricketer in the world, his name is.
Whoever came up with it and then everyone else took it on, I can't believe there wasn't one fella who went, well, we can just leave some of these words out.
Yeah.
It was a lot slower though, wasn't it? So they had more time.
Yeah. Plus there's the Si Senor, Sim Senor thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a valid point, you know.
It'll be the Libyan Arabian in 10 years.
Yeah.
it's the one to come. Anyway, Lizzie.
Arabian. I've never heard. Since I've been going the match, I've never heard collectively Libyan be used. I've heard an override in Arabian. Again, I didn't know it was a thing until it started coming about like 5-6 years ago when I first heard it, and I was questioning it, going, "Have I got this wrong?" I've only ever heard Arabian. I know a couple of people who do sing Libyan, but I just go with Arabian, and I think the majority do as well.
It's a very Liverpool. It's a very, very Liverpool thing. This is like the North End, South End, Sin, Arabian, Libyan, all that kind of stuff. I can't see other fan bases going, nah, and have a murder over.
I'm not sure it's murder.
Not murder, but I remember, I was going to say the songbook that I remember last day at the Cop, after the Norwich game, the other thing on the Cop, Radio City hosted it. Tony Snell was there and he forced the Liverpool scarf on him, but they, same thing, they handed out these cards with all the words on it. I think I've still got it somewhere, I might have to consult, but it might very well be a slash.
Okay, move on. Someone else a few people have asked about questions about this game on Wednesday and this idea that there's Manchester United fans and wanting City to beat them and stuff like that. And I mean, I'll say generally, Paul, it's not a nice position to be in, and it's quite a funny one from us who've kind of, you know, spent a lot of the last 30 years thinking about who we don't want to win the title rather than who we do. And the boot's on the other foot, and they've lost their heads over it a bit, haven't they, which is quite amusing.
Yeah, they have, and it's great. I love it. And there's so much about it. We were having a bit of chat about this before. Like, I don't really care. Someone said this on Twitter the other day. Like, the Man United players don't care what the fans want. Yeah. At the end of the day, they've just been humiliated by Everton. They've all got their own agendas to play for, whether it's with their futures at United or not. Solskjaer's got a huge point to prove of getting a performance out of them. And the thing I was saying after our game the other day, boot on the other foot. I couldn't care less how bad Everton are. You don't want to go away to Goodison Park on a Wednesday night as your game in hand to win a league, like to put yourself back on top. Yeah. It's a horrible game to go and play. And their best case scenario, well, I suppose their best case scenario is they just batter United and don't put any effort in. I don't see that happening now. So after that, they win. And it's another game where they've had a lot of effort and a lot of energy, mental and physical. And then they've got to go away to Burnley 4 days later. Still, not a good scenario either way for them. And I love as well that we keep playing before. So this is their game in hand. But then even if they win, we play Huddersfield on a Friday night. We go wild. We get to have a bevy under the lights and all that. We beat Huddersfield. And then it's back over to them again. The pressure's back on them. And now their game in hand's away to Burnley. It's not a nice position to be in for them, I don't think. And we've had this in the past where it's like, yeah, with game in hand and you automatically add your 3 points on. Very rarely works out like that, does it, in reality?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Andy, that the Kobe makes there, is that if we were going to Goodison Wednesday needing to win, you know, you'd be like, we could do without that.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you look at us going to their point, it's in Goodison last month, you know, and it wasn't a nice feel. I know we were favourites for it, but I don't know anyone who was going into Goodison convinced we were going to murder them. Especially with the stakes being so high. It's a curious one with the game on Wednesday, because, and I know this sounds ridiculous given how good City are, but when the pressure's on, they do wobble a little bit. They do wobble. You look at us last year in the Champions League, and we got at them. You look at them at Spurs in the Champions League last week, when they have to get something, even when they beat us at the City Manchester Stadium, or with the Etihad, whatever it is, early in the season, we had them rattled. They scored off the post, we missed the one off the line. And I just think if United can withstand the first 20 minutes, the doubts will start creeping in a little bit. And I think this is the worst, bar maybe having to come to Anfield again. I think this is the worst. Forget about how bad United were against Everton. And they won't want to be embarrassed again, by the way, either, after what happened to Goodison. I think this is the worst possible fixture that the City could have, apart from us.
I mean, sort of Chris is focused on the fans here. Someone asked Mike about Blackburn at Anfield in 1995, which is a little bit of a similarity in that I remember going into that, wanted to Blackburn to win, and then someone just takes over and you end up just cheering for your own team. I think I cheer for all three goals that
day. Yeah.
In a sort of weird sort of way. And I think these United fans who are saying now they want to get beat by City, if they go in the ground, once they're in there and everyone takes over, they'll just want to beat the rivals, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different comparison to make with us and Blackburn, and I emphatically wanted Blackburn to win that because I hated Man United.
Wasn't it a couple of years ago?
Yeah, that was another one, wasn't it? I don't know about that one, but I think the interesting thing for me is it's shown how United's fan base, a wider fan base, hate Liverpool that much. I'm a bit taken aback by it, because think about it: City, local rivals, been nowhere for decades, financially doped. Quite annoying as well. I'm surprised really that Liverpool winning it is a worse option for them. Another title, City. Maybe because they've won three and they're sort of like a little bit sanitised to it. But it still surprised me the amount of United fans who do prefer to lose this game. I agree with what Andy and Paul say about the mentality of the game. Though those players are immune to what their fans think. I don't think it's relevant.
I think the United fan thing comes back to the wider picture thing. I think if this was Rodgers' team 13-14 going for a league, I think they'd be less arsed about us winning it, because it's easier to go, yeah, they'll win the league, but then Suarez is going to leave, Gerrard's finished, there's no substance that this is built on. Yeah. Whereas now, yeah, I think their fear is we win one, we win five in the next 7 years. And
well, yeah, there's definitely that. I mean, and also thinking back to when United had that massive gap between championships, and Rob Gutman and I were talking about this a while back, it was in a year-on-year fear that once they'd got one a load, and I mean it happened. So I think there's that in it for them as well, but yeah, I wouldn't fancy being a United fan.
I think there's a little bit as well. If I had this in the sort of 10 years ago when it was like Chelsea or Man United, and it was like, well, Chelsea's don't really count. There was always a little bit of that. It's like, look, they've got all this money now, it's going to go away and they'll go back to being like mid-table again. So there was always a thing for me, it was like, well, Chelsea can win as many leagues as they want because they don't really count. I think there's a little bit of that in Man City, isn't there?
There's something like in terms of like just pure football in this for them, often for City over Liverpool, I think. But there you go.
Lizzie, what do you think of the United fan mentality?
Oh, I wouldn't want to be one, put it that way.
Just in life.
just in general. It's difficult because every United fan I've spoke to, I've spoke to quite a few as well, have all said the same. It's more about Liverpool not winning than it is City. I think it's a compliment, actually, really, to Liverpool, but also to Man United. Try and take away the hatred of you know, the the nastiness behind it. I think this is about two football teams who have been so used to being the best and the most successful in this country to only starting to be overshadowed slightly by big money teams. And the reason that United don't want us to win, yeah, is because of the rivalry. But like you said, they've got a local rival there who's going for it. But this is because City are nowhere near their league titles. Mm. Nowhere near their league titles. We are. We're two behind them. And then all of a sudden, it's this thing that they've always had over us, the 20 times Man United, whereas we've had the 5 over their 3. And that is going to carry on for years and years, but City are nowhere near it. So I understand why they don't want it to be Liverpool. But I also had a really interesting conversation with someone who said they wouldn't mind us winning the league if it meant us stopping City winning the quadruple. But obviously now that they're out the Champions League, they want City to win the league. But the thing is, they might even get a double this year.
It's funny to think of footy as being this match, basically this one game of football. It's currently 2018 to United on the league.
Which is all they should sing about, by the way.
But the whole thinking around that, you know, dates back to something like 1901.
Yeah.
And way before any of us were born. But it's all part of that same sort of tapestry. But yeah, anyway, that's I just like to find that quite interesting.
Yeah, that
game is always, and there's never going to be a final whistle. Yeah.
But I remember chatting to Neil about this, and like, if there ever comes to like the end of the world, that's what it's all about. Yeah. I can imagine just at the end of the world, it's like, who won the game between United and Liverpool?
Which won the fuzzy?
Yeah, that's all that matters. Or
purely for selfish reasons, what's the score going to be when I conk out? You know, yeah. Probably like 23 all when I go.
It's like a game of footy in school, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many did you get? 7. Yeah.
But that is the thing with both United and City fans, is that they're trying to wind Liverpool fans up in completely the wrong ways. Like, sing all your G-Sung Park songs you want, and sing all your Ale Ale Ale, because I just think you sound like Ted's. Whereas if United just sang 20 times for 90 minutes at Anfield, I'd get so upset. And City should just sing about the fact that they're champions, because they are, and that'll wind me up. Yeah. I don't know why they're making it harder for themselves. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're making it more complicated than it needs to be. Man United have won more league titles. Manchester City won the last one. That's the most annoying thing, rather than me.
I'm with you. It's like when you go to Cardiff and they start singing about England, like,
oh,
in the World Cup, and you're like, lads, you're getting this completely wrong.
Yeah, okay. Nevin, someone's asked here what do you think the greatest LFC team is? And I think this is in relation to sort of debating this team's kind of era in that. I think it's difficult to say until we get to the end of this season. And I think it's also a case of, you know, when you think of greatest LFC teams, do you think in terms of seasons, or do you think in terms of like eras? Do you think of the terms of, well, this team did this over 2 or 3 years? Yeah. Or do you think in purely in terms of seasons?
I think probably an era, like a relatively short era, is the best way to bracket them. So I still think that, like, you know, sort of 76 to 84 is like, well, that's a longer era, but there's probably 2 or 3 within that. I still think they're the best. It's so hard to argue against the quality of this side just because of the number of points that they've accrued, and they might have a league and a European Cup to show for it at the end of the season. But my opinion about the title race, I think the title race might have been more interesting had there been more points drop, and I think it points to it. I don't think the Premier League's particularly strong outside of maybe 4 sides, and I think that's bad for it's bad for the game, because I don't know, they just see, it seems more exciting when it's more unpredictable. And, you know, from the outside looking in, there's been it's so predictable at the moment. They're just going to win every game. They're going to win every game. And I don't think that, in the purest sense, makes for the best title running. But I think it just colours me opinion about how good this Liverpool team is. But they'll probably prove me wrong. I want them to, don't get me wrong.
But if I had to tie you down to what you think the best Paisley team was.
It's the 78-79.
The one that didn't Champions. See any goals.
Yeah, the 4 at home, that one, yeah. But they were brilliant as well. I mean, don't forget, they weren't just mechanical. They weren't just, you know, sort of so defensively solid. They had Dalglish in the side, and, you know, and Hansen and Souness, and, you know, they are the true Liverpool greats, really, because they've won God knows how many titles, European Cups. So then.
Okay. Andy, obviously we never saw 78-79. So if you go from the day you were born What would you go with as the best ever Liverpool side?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? The easy answer would be, say, 88, 89, but even then I was 6-7 years old, so I didn't really, you know, experience it. Look, I'll be honest, if Liverpool can get over the line, I'd have to say this side. I'd have to say this one. I think just because purely, and I disagree with Mike. I hardly ever disagree, but I disagree with him on this. I think if we could overcome Manchester City to win the league, and look how deep we've gone in Europe as well this season, yeah, again. And we've gone toe-to-toe, and I haven't found it boring at all. I think both teams have asked questions of each other, and they've come back with the responses. It's like watching the heavyweight fights that you watch when you were a kid, just two fellas knocking absolute bells out of each other, and no one's given an inch. A part of me thinks that if City... The reason why City are excelling is because of Liverpool, and the reason why Liverpool are excelling is because of City. And in a weird kind of way, if both teams would have lost two or three more, the other team would have lost two or three more. It's kind of they're holding each other to this standard. So yeah, if they can get this one over the line, I'd have to say, to be honest, and you know much I love Rafa's team, it would have to be this one. Hence, it'd be the first league title.
This one's better than Rafa's side. I mean, it sort of pains me to say a little bit, but they're in a different league to Rafa's team, I think.
Yeah, and the scary thing is, as I detailed at the top of the show, you can see where this team can improve as well, which is scary.
Yeah, I mean, Cope, I'd say it's a little bit of a shame, obviously, that the sides sort of who we first started watching, we don't know how they would have done in Europe, and obviously that's not the biggest issue with that kind of European band, but I think, you know, I'd love to have seen that 87-88 side in Europe and seen how they've got on and stuff like that.
I love the way you've gone to surnames for this question, as though it's like a really important...
Cope, Liverpool. I was watching University Challenge last night, I think that's what it is. So, I mean, so it's difficult, isn't it, to judge those late 80s sides compared to the early 80s sides, for example, that we know won European Cups. But if you sort of had to kind of, you know, put a kind of a one season on what you think's the best side that kind of been in your lifetime, have you got one?
It's easily this side for me.
Is it?
Easily, yeah. And a couple of points that Mike and Andy have made, I think, are fit. Like, I don't remember... The 88 side. I was 8 years old. I don't remember it. It could have been the best thing in the world. I always think this. But when people like get into these arguments about who the greatest ever player was, and like, yeah, I have some lads going to it was Pele. I'm like, how many times have you watched Pele play in your life, mate? You've watched like the same clips of the goals. It's like the famous Dalglish thing when he was on Sky a few years ago and they showed him a show reel of goals, of his goals. And they went to him, do you remember them, Ken? He went, yeah, they're the ones they only show. Like that they always show them, so I always see them. So yeah, I think Mike's is a good point as well, and this is where I don't really like. There's two sides of this for me. Serious answer is, how do you define greatest? Like, is it about winning stuff, or is it about the way it plays? Is it about the context? And then the other thing that you can it's really difficult to compare eras in any sport, I think, because your point about, well, what's the competition like? Are we winning every game and City winning every game because the league just isn't as good anymore? Or are we winning it because we're absolutely brilliant? And how does that compare to the 78-79 season as a league? Like, what were the other teams like then? It's impossible. It's an impossible question to answer. But on the pure, like, if I have to pick one, it's very, really easy for me because I'm picking whether this is better than Houllier's best side, Rodgers' side in 13-14, or Rafa's. And obviously, I'm a huge Rafa fan as well, like everyone else around the table. But this... I mean, this team would destroy all of those teams.
Even the 0-1 team. That 0-1 team was tough. Yeah, I don't think they were getting particularly destroyed by anyone.
But I don't... Destroy is probably being dramatic. I think what this team has got, and I've seen this more in the past few weeks, is it's all of those teams combined in one. That all of those teams had weaknesses and they had issues. And you saw even Warnock say the other day, this Liverpool side just doesn't seem to have weaknesses, really. Mm. It can do all of it. We've seen loads of scrappy... digging it in, loads of character, and we've seen the flamboyance, and I keep saying it's a grown-up football team now. That's how we've evolved from last season. So yeah, I think it's... And then, yeah, the question then is, well, what happens? And I know Klopp philosophically is doing the whole, and I agree with this philosophically, you can't just be about winning the Holy Grail, but ultimately that's what you're judged on in sport at the end of the day, isn't it? How many trophies did you win?
It's this season. It's this side for me, definitely. The only other one I would have give a shout to in terms of when I started watching football, because I was probably a little bit older than you when you all started watching football. I individually loved 08-09. Like, I loved,
yeah, it was great.
I loved the Torres Gerrard, I loved the Mascherano, the Alonso. Mm. There was just so much about that side that I adored. But as a team, and now individually as well, looking at this team, it's going to be hard to top this one for me.
Okay, I like this one. Who will be? It's Phil Byrne, sorry. Who will be the player in the worst shape on the bus parade after we win the double? I mean, I think that's something that's gone out of fashion a little bit. Kobe, hasn't it? I used to like the old videos where he was slurring his legs, kind of getting interviewed. Do you get anyone to bring it back?
I love that era. Well, it'll be Klopp and Firmino. That's it. They only two be having a bevy. I've loved it when Klopp in the past has said, like, the Christmas do, and he's on the dance floor going, come on. Hendo's sitting there with a bottle of water going, I don't drink, boss. And it's like, miserable bastard. And so, yeah, I mean, I've heard stories about Firmino and how he likes to have a bath. There was a video of stories.
It's just him in his bed and he's getting twatted. Just
splattered on champagne, singing Brazilian karaoke.
just incredible, isn't he? And I love, did you see the clip that was doing the rounds? I don't know, I think it was on BBC. And it's one of them where you think, am I hallucinating? And it was the dentist who did his teeth. And he said, when they come in, and he's porcelain. Like, and he's done Klopp's and all that. And he's like, we have a range of colours you can have. And Firmino comes in like broken English, like more. I want more white than you've got. So we had to make up a more sink. White.
Yeah. He literally pointed to the bathroom sink and went, that? And he went, porcelain? Yes, this. And they had to create a new white for Firmino. It's definitely Firmino, this, by the way.
Yeah.
He'll be absolutely off his head at the front, dancing along to what he loves. This, like, it's like South American music, doesn't he? You see all the Brazilians usually go to, like, the live concerts with Alisson on guitar. And Firmino will have, like, you know, that mad microphone that, like, on the coach programme on Channel 4 that Brendan speaks into.
Yeah.
Firmino will be on that.
Any advances on Bobby?
Andy Robertson, I think, you know.
I was thinking Bobo as well.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're judging cultures somewhat here. He'll deserve it as well, won't he, Andy? You know, you think about, like, where Andy Robbo's come from in his career, and if he gets to win either of these trophies, then he deserves a can.
Oh, it's boys' own stuff, isn't it? Yeah. You know, what a story that'd be. No, I just think quietly. I don't even think quietly. I mean, you've interviewed him, John. You know what he's like, and he seems like a really nice, genuine lad. And what the nice, genuine lads do when they got something boss to celebrate.
Have a bevy.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. It'd be great if they were all absolutely leathers, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I always love some of the old photos from what's the hotel after they won the European Cup, they ended up in friggin' what was the family who owned the hotel and owned the news bar? You know what I mean?
Don't know.
No. There's photos of, like, a couple of the players with the European Cup on this piano and they all look absolutely twatted, and I'm thinking, yeah, go ahead. I want more of them. More of them. Definitely. All of them.
I think we'll leave it there. That's a lovely place to finish. Our players being drunk. Huge thanks to Cope, to Heaton, to Nevin and to Doyle. That has been Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap. Up the Reds.